So many of the teachers at Kill Your School are passionate about creating real-world applications of the educational experiences kids are getting. And now, historically, when we think of shop class, we think of, oh yeah, real-world application. I'm going to build a garage. I'm going to fix a car. I mean, those are real-world things. But Kellyer, because Kellyer School is amazing, takes it one step further. Kellyer has a unique experience. They call it the Fabrication Lab, the Fab Lab. And it melds art, design, and fabrication. And it takes kids to a next level of thinking. And it gives them ownership of what they're creating, and it also encourages them to keep improving on what they're creating. Eric Carlson is the Kellyer art teacher, and Eric Nord is the shop teacher. They have a unique setup at the school where the art room and the shop room are actually connected, and it works out perfectly for the Fab Lab. When both of the Erics started teaching at Kellyer School, there was no Fab Lab, but once it came, it really had an impact on them as teachers and on the educational experience of their students. Eric Nord, the shop teacher, told me how it all started.
When I first started, the previous superintendent had asked what would be my dream tool. And I knew of a CNC plasma cutters and thought, you know, other schools had had them, bigger schools and colleges. And so that was one where I said, well, that would be a lot of fun for the students to learn how to make signs, and it could control it and plasma cut. So that's what I told him, and then he ended up finding a grant to get all of the tools that we have, or most of them anyways, at that time. So in one fell swoop, we ended up with a bunch of different things that I didn't know how to run. Got CNC plasma cutter, which will cut metal. They have hand plasma cutters that you can make signs and things with by just cutting by hand. What we are doing mostly, we have a hand one, but then we also have a CNC one where they'll design the sign or other part or whatever they want to make, and then turn around and send it to the computer, and it'll make a cut path, and then they'll put it in and have it cut the part out or the sign. So that's the CNC plasma. We have a router for that, which is just like a wood router. And then you can router out signs or some 3D carving stuff, which is what we're playing with now. And so it'll just take a smaller bit and carve out three-dimensional pieces, or like lake depth maps we've done, and some heads or faces or three-dimensional things like that. And then we've got a CNC mill, which will do smaller scale. We don't have a lot of space for that, but it'll do smaller parts and pieces. And that one you can run aluminum in ours, but mainly we just use it for wood. And then 3D printers. So those will print using filament, building a part from nothing, so it lays it down layer by layer. A lot of people are getting more familiar with the 3D printing stuff, but we have two different kinds here. The one uses a liquid resin, and then it cures it with a laser, layer by layer, and the other one builds it up layer by layer, just melted plastic and strips. And a vinyl cutter, so that'll cut vinyl stickers, and we're using that more and more for different types of vinyl. One will stick on cars or on decals like normal, or else they have t-shirt presses, so you can use a heat press and press it onto shirts or hats or things like that. We also have a couple other printers, large format printer that'll print on canvas, and that one you can also die sublimate, which is just transferring the printed image through a sublimation process where it actually gasifies right to the part or shirt or metal. You can do it onto some poly form. So that's the gist.
Wow, how has it kind of reinvented the classic shop classroom?
Well, I tend to try to keep a lot of the traditional stuff and mix in the CNC stuff. I get frustrated with the computers because computers have issues with internet and things not working. And so if something's going wrong, I said, you know what, let's scratch this, go back into the shop and try to get some stuff built or prep for what we were designing. Finding that the designing takes way longer than the actual making of a lot of the parts, where back in the day, you designed it or came up with a plan or even found a plan on a magazine or something, you could just follow step by step and kind of go that route.
Because Kellyer School is set up so that the shop room and the art room are connected, it makes the perfect alliance for a fabrication lab where creativity meets functionality. And Mr. Carlson, the art teacher, spoke with me about how the guys had to create a curriculum around their new technologies and how it opened up a world of possibilities.
So there was no Fab Lab when you started teaching?
No. So it was a couple years in, I think the third year we got it, and it came in at halfway through the year. So that was a big challenge to try to throw together a curriculum and figure out the layout and get the Fab Lab installed halfway through the year. But it was exciting.
When you thought of your future as a teacher when you were starting teaching, did any of that even come into your vision?
Not at all. And the cool thing was, it was kind of a synergy type of scenario because I'd been working my whole life in Photoshop and Illustrator and these artistic programs that directly led into cutting things out of vinyl and this laser cutter. And the revolution is that I no longer had to just create my things on a computer. Everything that I created on a computer now could be a real world object. And that was extremely surprising and exhilarating for me because all of a sudden it opened up a whole new world of creation.
Yeah, it definitely has worked well for us because, well, for one, we get along well. So, and where I really enjoy the building and design, and I know the mechanical side of stuff, and I can usually problem solve or fix mechanical issues. And Mr. Carlson's a computer whiz, and he can answer any question I have. He's definitely a whiz at that, and he knew Photoshop well and Illustrator, and those two programs were our go-to programs for a lot of what we do. And we both have the same mindset, I think. We're both curious how stuff works and how to make things work. And so if we don't figure it out, we will figure it out. We hope we can portray that to the kids because if something doesn't work and a student gives up, that's like one of the, what's going on? You know, don't give up yet. You know, you only tried one thing. So that's the tricky thing to teach is just the never give up mentality too. The idea with the Fab Lab is we have a model in here where it says you start out with some goal and then you explore the options and then you develop what you want from that. And then you can evaluate what you developed. And when you're done evaluating it, you decide whether or not you want to improve it or if it was what you wanted. So if you did a good job, which most people, you know, there's always something you think you can do better. And so the idea is you improve it, and then you explore how to improve it, and you redevelop it and evaluate it. And then eventually, you know, hopefully you end up with what you really want or what a client or somebody else would want.
And speaking of clients, from what I had heard, the Fab Lab and the students have created some projects for outside agencies. Signs for a Resort were one of the things I had heard of, and I asked Mr. Carlson about that.
Yeah, the first one that was really exciting was the Red Lake DNR had commissioned us to make some life-size models and then larger-than-life-size models of invasive species to raise awareness. And that was really exciting, and they helped us buy a really nice Formlabs 3 3D printer. And these printers just printed very, very smoothly and in a new way. So the students got to see how even 3D printers are all different, and there's new technology that's emerging within the new technologies. That was one of the projects. We've had so many. So our robotics program has lots of tie-in with the Fab Lab. We're always making little parts for the robot in the Fab Lab. And the town of Kellyer wanted a big metal sign for the park, and so students helped design it, and we've cut it, and they're sandblasting it and painting it, and it'll be there for a really long time.
And in addition to connecting the students with the community that is right around them, the Fab Lab has also connected the students and the school and their teachers with communities around the world.
When we got trained in on the Fab Lab process, there were cameras that went all over the world. And so we could look up on the screen and there was Saudi Arabia Fab Lab. There was Chicago Fab Lab. And you could actually just look in to see what they're doing and give them a call and say, hey, could you tell us how did you make this part that looks so cool? The whole idea of the Fab Lab is that you can work together on projects. It's kind of like you have a lot of modifications that can happen. So somebody makes a design, but that's not the end of the process. That there's all these iterations and sharing of ideas that can happen. So there's this real sense of community that I really get excited about.
There's an interesting story with the spiny water flea that was designed. Was actually someone in Bangladesh But he subbed it out, Carlson did, because we knew that we couldn't do it with what we knew right away. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I think he would agree that he and the students could probably do it now, remodel that. But at that point, we couldn't. And so it was another life skill to learn, well, if we can't, how do we get to that point? And
the Fab Lab can be whatever you make it to be. And we're realizing that we have to adjust who we are as teachers based on our students. We'll get some classes that come in and there's life in their eyes and they want to create something. They look over at a machine and they're like us. We're like, that could do so many things. And you can see their brains figuring stuff out already. And then we get classes that are scared of the technology. They look at the machine and they're like, you want me to do what? I'm going to break it. I don't like computers, that kind of a mentality. And we have to really change how we approach those things. We were just talking today about cookie cutter lessons, which we as teachers, Eric Nord and I, don't gravitate towards. We want the student to individualize their product and their process even. And when a student comes to us with that mentality, it's a lot easier to facilitate that. But not every student has that. And some of them, they haven't learned how to be creative because they've been told to sit down and be quiet in school. So part of what we try to do is to teach kids how to be that way again, because I think they all were at one point. But if they're not able to get there, you know, to give them skills-based lessons as well. But more and more we're seeing that in this economy, people have to be creative. And they have to innovate constantly.
There's lots of job opportunities out there, and so giving them skills, that's probably my biggest hope, is that the kids will pick up a lot of the skills so they understand the machines. Hopefully they have some interest in some of the stuff that they're making, so that keeps them hooked.
That's Eric Nord, the shop teacher at Kellyer School, and he and the art teacher, Mr. Carlson, have been working collaboratively to put together a curriculum for the Fabrication Lab.
I think the ultimate goal would be to have tutorials that help people step by step along the way. And with any technology, there's a lot of kind of rigorous steps that you have to go through that aren't necessarily creative. So the creative process is the design, but then in order to get that design to be cut with a machine, you have to tell the machine what to do every step of the way. And if we have really clear tutorials on how to do that, I can focus on the creative side and then give them a tutorial and they can go and print it.
That's Eric Carlson. He and Eric Nord are the guys behind the Fabrication Lab at Kellyer School. We've been visiting Kellyer today in our Let's Visit segments, and I want to thank Rose Heim and Amy Mastin and Claire Kupcho, Eric Nord, Eric Carlson, Susan Wachler, and of course the BogBots Robotics team. Kellyer is remote and rural and a small town with a population of only around 260, but their school is something special, innovative, student-focused, curiosity-driven, with a team of teachers who seem to always be willing to go beyond what seems possible.
A lot of what's good about what's happening in Kellyer is because it's a small school. There's a lot of flexibility and people are open to new and different ideas. It's also a testament to a small town to be able to be open-minded enough to try new things. That's, I think, the opportunity that lies in small rural areas. And now more than ever, there's pressure to innovate on a small scale.
You've been listening to Let's Visit for the past hour. I'm Katie Carter, your host. Just want to remind you that Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.